Legends with Bevo presents the Bevo and Biggie Show.
Well, g'day guys, welcome to the Bevo and Biggie Show once again. And boy, oh boy, we've got a big show today. I'm joined by strong men left, right and centre, and strong women, of course, as well. We're joined by an absolute champion in the sport of weightlifting. She's the Australian champion, finished fifth in the Home Commonwealth Games in the Gold Coast there. That's Steph Davey. Steph, great to have you on.
Thanks, guys.
And Lukey Reynolds, a strong man himself as well. He's stronger than Biggie. Look, Biggie calls himself the strongest man in Australia, but I think Luke's even stronger. But these two have been
playing that
all day. We'll see.
Luke, great to have you on, mate. good to see you, mate. Can't argue with the facts, right?
This is just going to stitch up before I even get to say a goddamn word right here. We're going against Biggie. You know, I tell you one thing, Bevo. Me and Luke go back a long way. Luke is definitely a lot stronger than I am. There's no ifs, ands, or buts about it. He's one of Australia's top pro strongmen in the last 10 years. A legitimate superstar and strongman, just like Steph Davies, is a legitimate superstar of weightlifting in Australia. We are very blessed, and I feel very weak at the moment. So I can only imagine how you feel right now, Bevo.
Here I was the other day looking at myself in the mirror thinking I'm going okay, and then you guys have come along. So.
Well, look, matey, you know what? I'm going to kick things off here, Bevo, and you know what? These guys are a rugby player background. We've actually got two of them that are rugby background. So Steph played rugby, Luke played rugby, both very, very good at their thing. So what I'll do is, Steph, we'll start off with you and then Luke will go on to you. Steph, what was your background and where did that start with rugby? Give us a bit of a rundown of your beginning of sport, basically.
Yeah, so rugby's probably my biggest sporting love still, even though I don't compete in that anymore. I started rugby when I was about 5. My dad used to work at one of the clubs, and I used to go down and watch my big brother play, and watched all the boys play. And dad one day said, "Oh, do you want to go have a run, sweetie?" And so he teed it up with the coach, and I, you know, barefoot back in those days, and I was the only girl in the entire competition for probably 5 or 6 years until some other girls joined along, and it was awesome. Just mucked around with the boys, and I played, you know, all three juniors. We had a mandatory period where you couldn't play as a girl, just for developmental reasons, and obviously it wasn't a women's competition to play against other girls, so picked it back up in high school and then in seniors, and played for probably 4 or 5 years or so for states, for SA in both sevens and 15s, so yeah, really, really, it's still my biggest love, which is perfect for why I live in NZ right now.
And Lukey boy, give us a rundown of your history on rugby and injuries and everything else in between.
Fuck, how long you got? I started in rugby league, not rugby. I played rugby league for 10 years. I played representative stuff for Penrith Panthers for 4 or 5 years towards the end. I played until I was about 19 years old. I'd had a bunch of injuries up to that point, just sort of comes with the territory. I'd had a few knee surgeries, broken wrist, jaw, nose, things like that. But by the time I was about 19, 20, I was sort of done with team sports. And sort of, I didn't know where to move with the, with the sporting thing. I wanted something individual. And I'd always lifted since I was about 11 years old, to sort of support the rugby league side of things. And then 2008, early 2008, a mate of mine who I played footy with and lifted with, and he'd moved away and he rang me out of the blue and said, "We've got a strongman comp on out here. Do you want to come out and try it?" And he was living at Bathurst in the Central West at the time. I hadn't done any strongman training. And as Biggie will remember, there wasn't really much of a strongman scene here at that time. It was in a bit of a lull, and it was ready to sort of to burst out again and have another golden period that we've sort of battled to get to now. So I went out there with no real training, gave it a run, finished equal first and sort of went from there, picked up with a organization called the Tartan Warriors, and And then Bill Linden, as Biggie knows, was running Australia's Strongest Man. And, we sort of got our start there. And here we are sort of 12 years later, 102 competitions under my belt, strength competitions, and still going all around the world with it. So, it's really cool.
And Steph, what's your journey in terms of, going into weightlifting? And I mentioned at the start, you finished fifth in the Commonwealth Games, which is a remarkable achievement, something you should be very proud of. What's your sort of journey into weightlifting? How did you get involved? And then obviously strong woman as well.
I sort of fell into weightlifting a little bit by accident. I was, like I said, playing representative rugby, and I wanted to get better for rugby. So my off seasons, I'd started CrossFit. So I spent probably a year or two doing CrossFit, and similar to Luke, my last sort of season of rugby. At the time I thought I was getting old, but I was still only like the tender age of like 24. But the seasons were definitely starting to add up, and I was getting a few, my last season I had, I think, 4 concussions, and ended up with a grade 3 MCL in my, I just got to the point where I wasn't enjoying rugby as much as I was enjoying lifting and CrossFit in general, but the lifting side in CrossFit. So I thought, okay, cool, I'm one of those people, if I'm going to do something, I'm going to go 100%. So I gave rugby up, decided to commit to CrossFit, and thought, okay, if I want to get competitive in the CrossFit scene, you need to be able to weightlift. And I actually sucked at snatching. And so I decided, it was the biggest hole in my CrossFit game. I needed to go and find a weightlifting coach, which I did, which is Max Del Santo, who's one of our champion weightlifters in SA in Australia. And started training with him, and he knew that I was super competitive, and he got me into my very first competition maybe a month or so into training. And, I'd had a little bit of background through CrossFit, but as a weightlifter, CrossFit weightlifting isn't necessarily the same in the amateur level. Very lack of technique and just brute strength. And my first competition, I got really close to hitting 100 kilo, which was like just a nice round number. You have these benchmark numbers in like strength sports. And I was like, damn, I really want to get that next time. So I went back the second time and got it. And from there, got a letter to say I had been put in the pool of potential selections for the Commonwealth Games. And I mean, at that stage, I'd only been lifting for a couple of months with a lifting coach. And it was one of those like, holy shit, okay. In my competition, there was like 4 girls. We're all in different weight classes. I still had no comprehension of the fact that the big girls and the little girls were not competing against each other. So I was like, no, my numbers are pretty shit. This isn't all that great. And then found out that my numbers for my weight division were pretty good. So I, I thought, you don't get these opportunities all that often. So I committed 100% to weightlifting. And then by the time trials came around, which both these boys actually came and watched, which was awesome. By the time that came around, I'd only been lifting for 10 months properly. And I literally just fell into it. and just diverted all attention once I sort of realized that there was an avenue there and haven't looked back. So, yeah.
Look, you guys are both legitimate. Like I said, legitimate superstars in your sports. Luke in strongman, Highland Games, strength sports. Steph, weightlifting, even dabbled in the strong woman as well. Again, you both had huge successes, not just in Australia, but, all around the world. You're truly both international stars. We'll start off with you, Luke, and then we'll go to Steph and go, what is your favourite moment in your career? Steph, you've been to Commonwealth Games. Luke, you've competed at the Arnolds around the world. You've met Arnold. You've done all that type of stuff. You've been in a lineup a few years back that was probably the strongest lineup almost in history. So, question to you first, Luke, and then you, Steph, is what is your favourite moment or moments in your career, besides obviously meeting me?
Well, that's the obvious one, isn't it? But... look, my That's a hard one. Because, you know, like I said, I've done over 100 contests now, so it's a long, long career, and there are a lot of sort of favourite moments there, and some of my favourites probably aren't some of the biggest moments, you know. Some of the contests you and I have done, without any, you know, sarcasm or joking, have been some of my favourite moments, and some of the guys that you and I have competed with and hung out with. But look, for me, winning Bundanoon 3 times, just like you have, the Australian Stone Lifting Championships, was a real highlight, especially, you know, for me, it took me 9 years to even crack my first title there, and then I won 3 in a row. I mean, that really took some coming back year after year, not winning that, you know, nearly a decade. That was hard. To get it and then win it 3 times in a row was really up there for me, especially considering how many, you know, especially considering how many legends had come before, who had, you know, real world champions, World's Strongest Man competitors, all these top level guys had been there for, you know, 25, 30 years winning this title, and it took me forever to win it, but I got there. But yeah, like you said, each time I stand in a giant international lineup, I mean, my first pro show, you were there in 2016 in Melbourne. I had a terrible show and I got my ass kicked, which usually happens in your first pro show. It's a big leap to the pro ranks, even from open heavyweight. But, you know, I got to stand in that lineup with, Colin Wolfe, our good friend from New Zealand. He was there as well. But, you know, Zydrunas Savickas was there. He's undisputed GOAT of our sport. He's the greatest strongman of all time, arguably the strongest person ever to walk the planet. And I got to stand in a lineup and compete against him in my first pro show, which was probably one of his last shows ever. He hasn't quite retired, but I, you know, in my career, I always wanted to stand next to him and sort of be counted as an equal. So that was huge for me. And then, the other few Arnolds I've done, where I was in South Africa last year, was a huge lineup. And then also Barcelona last year in Spain. That's the one you referenced, where it probably was one of the strongest lineups in history. The lineup was just insane. Again, I took a bit of a beating there, which tends to happen, but I was against guys like Brian Shaw and JF Caron and Shivlikov and all these, you know, top names ever in this sport. And just being able to be counted amongst those guys and be able to go against them and call them friends is what's really been cool. And then, you know, things like you said, meeting Arnold and sort of hanging out with Arnold, as you know, and you've done yourself, it's quite a buzz. It's quite surreal because when you go to these expos and stuff, Arnold sort of moves through there and people don't really get to be near him or see him. They see him from a distance. But Arnold sort of, as you know, he hangs out with the strongmen. He chats to us and just shake your hand and sit down and just hang out like one of the boys. I think he actually takes a bit of peace from that. Feels like he's back in his heyday a bit. So that's quite a surreal feeling each time, you know. So, yeah, those are probably some of the better moments I've really enjoyed. Yeah, it's really cool.
And Steph, let us know, what are these moments? What are your top moments in your weightlifting career?
Yeah, like Luke, I suppose there's a few, and you know, again, being pretty privileged to be able to compete in a lot of different countries and do some really cool things and meet some awesome people. Like, there's a lot of moments, but I think for me, I've got two that stand out for me, and I think you're there for both of them, Biggie. The first of them was the first was Comm Games Trials. So for that, you know, I hadn't been lifting long. I wasn't in the sport. This is a sport that takes like years, if not decades, to refine skills. So for me to waltz and you know, I didn't have a real comprehension of this at this stage, which is probably a good thing because it means I wasn't in my head about it. But you know, I was definitely not a favorite, definitely not even on the radar. I think I'd literally scraped the 3 competitions I needed by accident. The first one was a complete accident. The second two, you know, I had no comprehension of the numbers I needed to hit to try and make into the Australian team. And my original, when I first made the Australian team, I was competing as a 63 kilo division, which was definitely not a natural weight category for me. And after that comp, I went and ate like 5, 6, 7 meals a day. And then a week later, my coach called and said I'd made the Aussie team, and I was on my second breakfast and I'd put on 7 kilos in 7 days. And he's like, you've got to go compete in, like, it was only like 3 or 4 weeks away. And I was like, oh my God, but what about my breakfast? So, yeah, anyway, so when I'd made it to you know, the home game trials, I had to really fight to make the required ticks and boxes to get to that stage, and I'd sacrificed a heap. And yeah, definitely wasn't a favourite, definitely wasn't on the radar. Some really talented girls have been in this team for a long time, and you know, yeah, stiff competition. And I mean, I warmed up like crap. I remember sitting down after my first couple of warm-up snatches, and I looked at Biggie and he looked at me and just went and yeah, you can see that the sweat breaking out as he's trying not to flip out at the fact that I was not looking well. And I went out and I missed my first snatch, which should have been a shoe-in number, and got my second one but missed my third snatch. And on the board, that put me down. I was last going into my clean and jerk, so I needed to have by far the biggest clean and jerk. And, you know, that was okay because that was my game plan anyway. It's just let him take a lead and I'll catch him. And, yeah, I missed my first clean and jerk at 110, and then I missed my second clean and jerk at 112. And then by that stage, you know, I looked at Biggie and I looked at my coach and they said, what do you want to do? And it's like, well, didn't come to play second. So we just chucked on a number that I'd never lifted before, never even attempted to lift. And I remember as I was walking out to get to the platform, I walked past the coaches, or everyone else's coaches. They're all on the board trying to calculate. So, okay, so who's going to win based on the fact that they said, oh, well, Steph's not going to get this. So that puts so-and-so up. And I remember walking past and hearing it and just being like, all right, let's go. And so I went out and smashed that lift. And man, that one, you know, that feeling will never be replicated in my life, I don't think. It's we got this epic frames of the giant leap into Biggie's arms for a big hug. And yeah, that's, you know, that is very special. And the only thing that even comes close is when I was at the Comm Games and in the presentation line, you know, they announce everyone, you stand up and you give them like little wave, but it was a home games, and I had, I don't know, I think it was like 20 or 30 people who'd traveled from all over Australia to get there. And like my mum had booked 15 tickets before I'd even finished qualifying to get to the qualifiers, you know. So she'd put all her chips in the basket, and yeah, it was wicked. And just everyone there, good old mums. And then you just got Biggie's voice from that right-hand corner. It's like, you can't, doesn't matter how big that stadium is, you can still hear that voice.
The only thing missing by the sounds of it was Darryl Eastlake's commentating. Well, you guys are probably too young to remember him, but
he was a tremendous lifting right there.
Yeah, it's pretty good moments, and, you know, you always look at those as, yeah, absolute highlights.
Yeah, that's wonderful. And I wanted to speak to you guys as well because this is a question without notice. So I want to sort of, I want to give Biggie a bit of praise unusually because, you know, his ego probably doesn't need too much more praise. But talk about your relationship with the great man. We'll start with you, Luke. How did you get to know Biggie and talk to us through your friendship with him and I guess sort of helping each other out through his strongman journey?
Yeah. Look, I first met Biggie in 2009. I think it was May. It was at Doherty's gym, Dandenong. How's this, Biggie? Good memory. Biggie it was his first strongman competition, and he was there as an under 105, which at the time was the only lightweight division in strongman. I was there as a heavy. Biggie had been competing. It wasn't his first strongman competition because he started back in 2007, but it was the first one we competed together. But he was still a lightweight at the time, and he was only 18 years old from memory. I think I was 23 or something. I'd done probably a dozen comps at that point. I'd had a heavy schedule up to that point, and yeah, we just sort of hit it off down there. I think I won the heavies division, and I don't know how you went, Biggie. Came last probably. Yeah, so I don't think we saw each other again until the following 2010 Australia's Strongest Man, and that was Biggie's first Australia's Strongest Man outing, and we hit it off again down there. It was this young smart ass kid, and you know, I was a young smart ass kid as well, I suppose, but yeah, we hit it off straight away, and we both, through the guys, we'd sort of been mentored by, which was probably Ben Madden down in SA for Biggie, and Craig Reed in New South Wales for me. They're sort of the interstate equivalent of each other. They're the old dogs that were phenomenal stone lifters. And they'd sort of taught us that stone lifting and the toughness required and the respect you have to show to be good at that discipline and the hard work involved. I think it sort of steered us both in a similar direction like that. And then, just over the years, we started to compete more and more together. It was probably when we really started doing the Bundanoons together that we really started hitting it off big time. And we've become great mates. Biggie started bringing me down to South Australia for competitions. And then we'd have him over here in Sydney for competitions. And it was just a relationship built out of, I think, mutual respect for each other's abilities, but also, you know, each other's character. It's you know, we've welcomed into each other's family and you know, it's just been really great. And Biggie's probably still my best mate in strongman these days. So through injuries and all else, you know. So
oh, good on you, mate. And what about you, Steph? Obviously he's been your coach. How did you guys first connect and talk us through your relationship? Obviously he played a big part in you finishing fifth in the Comm Games. Yeah, talk to us through your relationship with Biggie.
Yeah, so I first came across Biggie. I was competing at, he didn't know this at the time, but I was competing at a CrossFit comp that he was doing a demo for, and against my coach who got me to Comm Games, Max Dos Santos, and those two boys were having a showdown, and Biggie actually posted a photo about that day, and there's like a little tiny Steph going, oh, these guys are like absolute freaks, and it was crazy because they both ended up being my coaches at some point. So, you know, small little Adelaide, but for me, you know, Biggie has like, without a doubt, has been probably the most influential person in my career as a strength athlete, not just in weightlifting, but just, you know, we first actually connected, we were training in the same gym, and it took a little while before I, like, you know, Biggie's an intimidating guy, and he makes a lot of noise when he trains, and I was, you know, I'm just this wee little thing. I was this wee little thing coming in and didn't know what I was doing, and yeah, anyway, so it took us a couple of months, I suppose, before we started hanging out, and it was through a mutual friend, but I just remember we'd be training alongside each other, and again, like Luke said, it's like mutual respect. Like I said, I didn't have a whole lot of comprehension for what my numbers or what strengths, what I was doing. I had no like benchmark to what that was in women's. I would always train with boys and be like, oh, I'm still way weaker than them, you know. But Biggie obviously saw something in me and us, and we became pretty, you know, best mates, pretty inseparable. He's just been huge at opening doors for me. And, you know, he'd get an opportunity for something cool and he'd just call me and he'd say, Steph, I've just got this awesome opportunity. You're coming. And, you know, so I've been able to do some incredible things. We teed up, you know, a lot of charity events as well. He teed up a train pool for me the year before last now. So as best as we know, I think we're one of the very few females who've pulled a train, which was epic. Got me over to Russia to help to compete over in Russia. So he's just been huge. And just from a mentor standpoint, somebody who's been in the game a little bit longer, and he's just so free with his love and his passion for strength sports and bringing people up, and always the loudest voice in the room. Always there to, I've got endless amounts of videos where I'm filming myself lifting and I'm having a, you know, that sucks, having a wee tantrum, and then there's Biggie like picking my nose and the camera like up for, you know, doing something dumb to break my mood, so that way, you know, when I get really intense and in my head, he's the only one who would be able to break me out of that and get me back to enjoying lifting, because that's what I love to do. So yeah, he's been huge.
Yeah, wonderful. Thanks for sharing.
It's a stitch up. Never again. Never again. I'll never be running late to one of these Zoom meetings ever again. God damn it. Guys, that was lovely. Again, I don't think you guys quite understand how positive an outlook you guys have been for me to keep me going. Luke, you and me go back 15 years, man, to my first show. And you're like a big brother, man. You know, you tell me what's up. You know, you and me are very different people at the same time, Bev. But what you got to understand, me and Luke are polar opposites. Luke is very vocal. He'll tell someone he doesn't like him. And guess what? That's the best way to be, right? I'm a bit more standoffish. I'm sort of a bit more you know, I'll let things go and relax. But you know where you stand with Luke. You know where you stand. If he thinks you're a dick, he'll tell you you're a dick. You know, and it's one of those things where a lot of people don't like Luke for those reasons, but at least you know where you stand. You know he's passionate. He loves his mates, his family. You know, that is the most important thing. And he's not one of those guys that's going to tell you something to your face and then tell somebody else something else behind your back. He'll call you a knob for being a knob, and he'll call you a good bloke for being a good bloke. You know, and for me to have people like Luke around me from such a young age, it has probably brought me up to where I am now. We both share a bicep tear together around the same time as well. So guess who was the first person to give me advice to fix my bicep? Luke. You know, he was the first guy to help me get back to injury. We've competed against each other. He's kicked my ass. I've kicked his. Trust me, he's kicked my ass a lot more than I have. It's been one of those situations where me and Luke go back such a long way, and he's been like a big brother to me my whole life, and I'm sure it'll go on and on and on. And Steph is the reason why I'm so fat and bald. That competition in Sydney. that competition in Sydney. I was 120 kilos starting that competition with a full head of blonde locks running all the way in. At the end of the competition, I was 145. Bald spot, hairy back. Oh, mate, I look like a Greek god before that competition. I just wiped away in one foul swoop. But in saying that, she's dealt with my crap for so many years. We've roomed together. These two have roomed with me. That's one of my questions I'm going to ask them, and I'll chuck it in now. But, you know, we've roomed together. We spend time together. She's been so sweet. She's helped me so much. She's helped me become a better person with being more vocal about the way I do things, to treat myself with respect as a coach, to respect my skill set as a coach. Steph was huge for that for me. And, you know, she gave me the kick in the ass I needed every now and then. But I'm just going to show you guys a question, because we've gone a long time here, and you guys have travelled with me a fair bit. So I'm going to say, Bemo was going to ask this one, but I'm going to cut in and ask it anyway. What was the worst habit that Biggie had on a trip? What was his worst habit? So we're going to go from giving Biggie some praise to going, what was his downfalls? Because there's plenty of them. But Luke, what was the worst thing about spending time with me? Be nice.
When you're behind closed doors, you never got any fucking clothes on. I remember sitting on the lounge, and you're sitting there smashing like a kilo packet of fucking Nutella in your underpants, and I'm just sitting there going, what the fuck, man?
I think I had a stroke. That is one step in line. Well, it's not, but... Yeah. Yeah, would you like to...
I've probably got a couple. So we travelled to Russia together, which was awesome. And one of our hotels, I think it was in Moscow, it was like single beds, and basically, like, if we both had our arms off the bed, we'd be touching, like, it's so close. And so I'm one of those one percenters. I like to try and hit every little target that I need for my nutrition and my sleep and stuff. And Simon's an ex-security guard, so he'd be up at whatever time. So I knew that at going in. I had my earplugs and my iPad, so I could not be distracted by him sitting there munching chocolate bars at 2 or 3 a.m. So I'd
this
say
is just that. A dig at my eating habits.
I'd say that would be one, and the other would be his complete lack of sense of humor. Like, he's got a sense of humor all the time, unless you're on a friggin' plane. And we've had a couple of hairy landings in our time as traveling to competitions together, and he just does not appreciate me going, what was that? You sit there and...
I that's not funny.
He's a shit flyer.
Oh yeah, not a good flyer, especially if you're in the that's, I can imagine just being in the middle next to the two of you would be a journey.
Yeah, that would be a journey. At least you got some strong men to hug up to, those there.
Yeah.
Bevo, me and Luke have shared a few flights back from here to Tunarama. Me and Luke have done Tunarama together a few times, and I swear one of the flights back, Luke was on the seat to the aisle and I was on the inside. Now, I'm going to give the viewers of this a bit of a rundown here. If you can see Luke, he takes up the whole goddamn screen. What you can see of him, he's like an iceberg. He just gets bigger underneath. So we got on the plane, yeah, so it's a little twin prop little thing. Luke's head crammed up against the roof and he's going in. Talking 6'7", 165 kilo body weight. I'm 6 foot one, maybe 135, 140 at the time. It looks like you're going first. I'm like, what? What do you mean I'm going first? Luckily enough, they've given us the emergency exit. Because if the emergency exit door had fallen off, I would have gotten stuck in the door, so I would have saved everyone on the plane. So we've taken off, and the lady behind us is pissing herself because I look like a pancake up against the side of the plane. Luke sort of stretched himself out like it's Christmas time. And it's been like a 45-minute flight back, and we've come back in, and I'm struggling to breathe at the best of times, but I've had my rib cage crushed. And we've come back in, and the plane has done the whole boom and just dropped at the last second, and it felt like it dropped onto square wheels.
Dude, I think it came in sideways. They should have distributed our weight a little better.
Yeah, totally, mate. The pilot wouldn't have had a clue what was going on. But, yeah, I'm a poor flyer, Bevo, to say the least. But both of these guys have flown with me a lot of times. And Steph overseas, Luke, a lot around Australia. I'm a terrible flyer, but, you know, these guys have seen it firsthand, mate.
Yes, job done, mate.
Absolutely.
And now, Steph, moving on to you, I heard from a little birdie that you got to meet some of your heroes in the sport of rugby league when you're involved in the Comm Games in the Gold Coast. Tell us more about that.
So Union, yeah. It was actually at the camp prior to getting to it was actually where we got announced as the team. So we were in a training camp down at the AIS, and as part of the games, we had to, you know, do an athlete bio, and, you know, you tell them, you know, what your proudest moment is and who your sporting hero is. And I put down David Pocock, so absolute legend flanker. He was always probably one of my favorite ever players, purely because, you know, not only for his work rate and his ethics on the field, but also off the field. He uses his platform to push his message of it, like, you know, something that he's really passionate about, which is the environment. And he just always comes across as a super authentic, no bullshit. As an athlete, he's a absolute beast, you know, always goes more, like, higher and above than required. Always trying new things. So if, you know, if this is how rugby is being trained, he's like, cool, that's awesome. I'm going to add calisthenics in because it's going to make me a better athlete. And he was just an incredible person. Anyway, I had my arm in a cast trying to nurse an injury. It was like a soft cast so I could train, but I had to wear it when I wasn't. And I was at the coffee machine in the morning, hadn't had one yet. And I'm sitting there and I've looked down and I knew the Brumbies were in camp, which was pretty cool. But I hadn't seen him around because he was injured. He's had his knee in a big cast thing. And I've looked down, I've just seen the cast and I've like maths, you know, tick, tick, tick. And little girl Steph starts coming out. Like, I swear I was about 7 years old. And I've pressed like hot chocolate in my tea or something. It was like something that I couldn't drink. And I and he's like, oh, go grab another cup, you can jump in front of me. And I was like, oh, thanks. And grab my cup, and then I've gone and had something else, and I couldn't get my hand in the cup because my hand was in a stress. And would you like me to take it to your table for you? And I was like, oh, nah. And I've sat there, and you know, you do the should I, shouldn't I. And obviously, I'm like as red as my shirt, you know, absolutely having a moment. My whole team's cracking up. The Brumbies are all cracking up. And I turned around and I said, oh, hey, just want you to know that you're my hero. Oh, man. It was like one of those things. I've like got enough words out that I was able to put context and explain, and, you know, but friggin' hell, like. But awesome. He was kind enough to take a photo, and yeah, it was real sweet.
Mate, she's had this. She's had this moment more than once, Bevo. She had this moment in Russia when she met Dmitry Klokov as well. She's like, I'm like, there he is over there. She's like, where? And she's like, oh my god, there he is. Yeah, and he's really doing that. Hey, Biggie, how are you? And I'm like, hi, this is Steph. And she's like, you know how the balloon just lets all the air out? It's not. So yeah. Got a photo, but she wouldn't get too close to him. She was like, and I'm like, Steph, get in there. And then she's like, okay, there we go.
I made up for that one though when he was giving out the medals. So I won a medal at that event, and he's like shaking everyone's hands, like well done, well done. And I've gone, well done. Pulls in for the side cheek kiss.
But Steph, you know you're not the only one here. I've got a little one about Mr. Luke Reynolds here. So I've got two little things for you, Luke. So you know you've travelled and you've competed the Arnold's competitions and. There was the one you talk about that you competed with Zadrunas here in Melbourne, and Arnold was going around shaking everybody's hands, and Luke was back actually. Yeah, you know where this is going, Luke. He's back. Arnold's going around shaking everyone's hand. You know what Luke does? He just steps in front of everyone, just right in front of Arnold. And Arnold doesn't go to shake his hand. Luke just goes in, bang, shakes Arnold's hand. Just lets Arnold know who's boss. Now, Luke, what was the theory behind that, mate?
Oh, it's like, you know, Arnold wanted to meet all the superstars. He had to meet the best one.
Yes.
Oh, mate, that was...
Nah, I was like, because I didn't realise he'd sort of arrived, because I was back talking shit with you, because we were... What event? We were getting ready for the log lift, I think it was.
Yeah, the log press, yeah.
And, so Arnold, when he shows up to comps, he comes into the arena and he sort of comes over to all the pro athletes. He likes to watch at least one or two of the events sort of in person. So he sits right there with us. And if there's a world record in the offing, which there was at this point, they were going to try and chase down the log lift world record. Arnold wanted to be present for that, which fair enough. And so we'd been warming up for the log, and then Arnold enters the arena and the place is going bananas. But I was back talking to you. We were sort of getting our shit together for me to do the log. And Arnold's come in. He's walking around all the pros. I'm like, you're just like, fucking get in there, Luke. I'm like, yeah. So I just jumped in. He didn't realize there was another athlete. It was just this huge arm just comes around the corner of Radzikowski, the Polish guy. I just grabbed his hand. He startled him. It was going. I'm like, I'm not missing this opportunity.
Oh, that was priceless. Mate, there's another little bit I'm going to quickly chuck in here before Bevo, I guess, does the roundup here. But, Luke, you used to do something before competitions. You used to do something called doing the Reynolds.
It's funny, though. I was telling somebody about this yesterday, funnily enough, because I used to get quite anxious before competitions, and I used to do a lot of media down in Adelaide with you guys. Biggie's always been good for media, and I'd get a wave of anxiety about 2 seconds before. So I'd have a reporter standing in front of me, turn away to a garbage bin, throw up into it, turn back around and go, right, now we're ready to go. And Biggie, I did it so often that it became like my trademark. Biggie used to call it doing a Reynolds. But I've since managed to deal with those anxiety issues and get past it. But, yeah, that was a hell of a trademark to have.
Mate, on cue, every time. I just remember we'd be doing an athletes meeting. He's done plenty of comps. He knows what to do.
I'm not surprised with the meals that you guys have. Oh, yeah.
Absolutely.
Well, thanks so much, guys. This has been an absolute pleasure having you on today, hearing your strong man and strong women journeys. Steph Davies, firstly to you, keep up the great work and all the best over there in New Zealand. Stay safe. And Luke Reynolds over there in Sydney, mate, thanks so much for joining us. Again, all the best to both of you. And Biggie, as always, great to have you on as well, mate.
Thanks, brother. Thank you guys so much for being on here. Like I said, Steph, the little sister I never had, Luke, the other big brother that gave me the shits. I appreciate you both so much for coming on the show. Like I said, I love you guys, your family, for me. Be safe wherever you are. I hope to see you all very soon. Bevo, it's always a pleasure to see you, my friend, and I'm looking forward to the next one.
Likewise. Take care, everyone.
Legend. Peace, brother. Thank you. See you guys.